Coffee with Kenobi presents Resistance Reactions.
All the pilots to your station.
You ready?
Let's do this.
Kasuda, good luck on tomorrow's big race.
I don't need luck.
Here we go.
You can't handle the hype. Line them up.
Follow my signals.
Get ready to be impressed.
When it comes to your mission at the spot, I don't have anything to do with it.
The First Order is clearly making weapons.
We're going to need all the help we can get.
I want the station completely destroyed.
It's been too long since we've seen some action.
You showing up always means trouble.
And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harris and David Modders.
Oh, this is exciting. I appear to be tingling all over.
Welcome back, everybody, to another exciting episode of Resistance Reactions. I am one half of your hosting team. I am Aaron Harris, and joining me is my wingman, David Modders. David, how you doing?
I'm ready to fly.
All right. We are going to have a lot of fun today. We have a great episode to review. This is the third episode of the first season of... I almost said Star Wars Rebels, but this is Star Wars Resistance. Third episode of Star Wars Resistance. This, of course, episode is entitled Fuel for the Fire. So I'm looking forward to this discussion. We had a great storyline, and we had a all-star guest in this episode, being Frodo Baggins himself, Mr. Elijah Wood, voiced Jace Ruckland in this episode. So I was sitting there thinking when I heard he was going to be on, I said, you know what? There's only one person I think that would be perfect to discuss this episode. This person I've gotten to know pretty well through Facebook or through Twitter and online. She is the host of her own podcast. She is the pretty much the creator of the Elven Padawan. Shay is joining us tonight. Shay, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to be on here.
We are excited to have you on. This is great. And like I said, you host a podcast called The Elven Padawan. You have your own website covering everything from everything Star Wars and Tolkien. So tell us a little bit about your site and your show.
Well, it started out because I've been a Star Wars fan since I was about 3 and a big fan of the Tolkien universe, I guess the Legendarium, as most people call it, for probably the last 3 to 5 years. They're my biggest fandoms, and I absolutely love them, and I thought it would be a great way to share that with other people and try to connect with some other people who love those as well. So I created the Elven Padawan blog and website, and then I created the podcast, and I talked a lot about the news at first, but now we've mostly moved on to talking about opinions, breaking down the stories, and I've been joined by a good friend who sometimes is on the podcast. That my friend and I are basically co-running the website now. She joins me on the podcast from time to time, and we're super honored that some people actually enjoy what we have to say and take us seriously, because we're just mainly geeking out about the stories we love best.
That's the way to do it. That's when you know you're having fun. I always have a blast listening to your show. So, it's a lot of fun because you can tell you're excited about what you're talking about and you're passionate about the fandom. And it's exciting, and I enjoy it. So it was. I've wanted to get you on for a while, and I'm glad this worked out where we could get you on and get you to join us for this discussion.
Thank you so much again for inviting me.
No. Our pleasure. So first things first, of course, before we go into our review of Fuel for the Fire, we got a little bit of news. This is something that was reported by the Wookiee Gunner, Jonna Maria Macias, reported this through her site. Which, if she's saying it, I'm taking it as she's extremely accurate in her reporting. So I have no doubt, because I just haven't seen the press release yet. But she apparently got a press release from Lucasfilm about the next about the November episodes of Resistance.
Ooh, nice.
So I'm actually pulling up her information here so we can go over that real quick, because it goes through the episodes of gives the titles and air dates here. Here we go. All right, 2018 program highlights for Star Wars Resistance. November 4th is an episode entitled The Children from Tehar. In this episode, Kaz searches for two missing children for a sizable reward, only to discover the First Order is also hunting for them. Of course, Captain Phasma returns. Gwendolyn Christie guest stars in that episode. That'll be November 4th. That's exciting. November 11th, we have Signal from Sector 6. When out on a routine training exercise, a distress signal sends Kaz and Poe to a damaged ship with strange life forms aboard. So Oscar Isaac returns as Poe Dameron in that episode. That sounds like fun. Seems like we're starting to get into more action-packed episodes here, a little bit more deeper. The November 18th episode is Sainara's Score. On a mission to repair a vital platform defense, Kaz befriends the mysterious Sainara and comes under attack by pirates.
Mm.
Then November 25th is the Platform Classic. An upcoming race reunites Yeager with his estranged brother Marcus, who needs to win to pay off his debt to a criminal organization. So those are the episodes we'll have for the month of November. Shay, any thoughts about the episodes that you heard about?
Well, actually, I did notice one thing. And it says that Kaz befriends the mysterious Sainara. I just pulled the article up on my Kindle here while you were reading it. And up at the top of the article, well, she had written that we've briefly seen Sainara San before. Do either of you know who this person is? Because it's not ringing a bell with me.
It is not with me. I've heard the name. I know I have, but I don't know where. Let's see if we can Google it real quick. Sainara San. Sainara San. Here we go. Sainara San is one of the pirates. From Kragan's team. She's the one that was in the shuttle with Kragan, the female Mayor Marillion.
Marillion.
She had the mask on. All you could see were her eyes and the helmet. That's who she is. Okay, so she's a pirate. That makes for a very interesting episode. Cool. I'm glad you read that and shared that. That's cool. I like that. David, any thoughts on the episodes?
Yeah, I was just trying to find it here as well about the these upcoming ones. Of course, you know, I've talked a little bit about Phasma here the last couple episodes and really hoping that they do her justice. I am looking forward to seeing what they do with her there. This whole thing about, what's it called, the children from, what is it? I'm looking for the name. The children from Tehar. Yeah, you wonder if this is kind of a, I don't know, the first thing I thought about is the four sensitive children. Maybe it has nothing to do with that. Maybe it's just kind of like a rescue mission or something, but that sounds pretty interesting. Like you said, Signal from Sector 6, it's good to hear that Poe Dameron will be back. I wonder if that's going to be some of the like you said, exciting scenes that we've kind of caught glimpses of in some of the previews out in outer space and stuff. So that looks pretty cool. And this will be interesting to learn more about your brother here in the fourth episode of November, the Platform Classic. So all of them sound fun. I think, like we've been saying, each of these episodes is going to have fun stuff for kids and give us adults more and more information about what happened prior to The Force Awakens. So we said it right, very first episode. Be patient. Give these shows time. And these shows will come out. These episodes will come out. And I think we're going to really enjoy them.
Exactly. I think we will, too. And it's going to be a lot of fun to see these episodes as they come out. I'm interested to see if they're going to do like they did with the first three or four episodes, where they released them all at once on the app, where we could watch them, or if they're going to space it out from now on, just once when the new episode airs, the other episode appears on the app. It'll be interesting to see how they air those, because I haven't seen anything on that yet. But we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. We got new Star Wars coming, and that's really all that matters at that point. So with that, that kind of wraps up our news, because that's all the news we've had so far. Nothing big explosive coming out with Resistance as of yet. So let's just go ahead and go right in to our review of Fuel for the Fire. Yeah, that's so cool. Anyway, if you can't tell, I got some new toys to play with during our episode here. So you may hear some more of that. Fuel for the Fire, great episode. Basically, in this episode, we have Kaz dealing with his life on the Colossus still. Jaeger's wanting him to be a mechanic. He doesn't want to be a mechanic. He keeps saying he's not a mechanic. It's pretty much that same old song and dance we've seen in the first couple episodes. And in his downtime, of course, he meets a young hotshot and his crew, Jace Rucklin, who basically is using Kaz to pretty much steal some hyperfuel, some Corellian hyperfuel from Jaeger. I keep saying Jaeger, and I know it's Jaeger. Take it from Jaeger, and we wind up, things go horribly wrong, and Jace and Kaz have their falling out, and we see a nasty little accident happen there, which we'll get into more detail on, but that pretty much, Kaz ends up saving Jace's life in the long run at the end of it. So overall, let's go into first thoughts on initial thoughts on the episode. Shay, since you're our guest, we'll start with you. What's your initial thoughts on Fuel for the Fire?
Well, I definitely enjoyed it a lot. I try to run on the treadmill every day, and I use that time to catch up on series that I'm watching. So today I watched this episode, and I'll tell you, laughing out loud while running on a treadmill is not the best idea. I don't recommend it. And that's what I did several times watching this episode, because poor Kaz is kind of clueless.
That he is. I've actually done that, laughing on a treadmill. It's not safe. Not safe at all. You're the most likely to wind up in one of those cartoon predicaments where you fall and you get shot off across the room. David, what are your thoughts on the episode?
Oh, gosh. I know. I'm glad Shay had so much fun with it. I did too. Just a couple things. One, a running theme that we've been talking about is there's a lot to learn here for kids, and in this one, there's even more than what we built upon last episode. And this one, Kaz is learning, you know, some things from Jaeger, at least trying to. A couple of the messages are doing your work first before play. It shows Kaz is easily distracted. You know, there's the issue of being safe, and he really wasn't being safe with some of the antics that he was pulling. It was also interesting there was conflict with the father figure, you know, with Jaeger. Even some of his statements, he was putting down working in a garage versus saving the galaxy, you know. And Jaeger really was trying to, I think, get that across, that little things do matter. I did like the contrast between the father figure who's telling them the right things and the quote-unquote fun group. You know, that's a pretty a classic trope in a lot of stories, right? What looks more appealing and what ultimately is the best for you? Mm-hmm. So that was really cool to see that. I love the backstory on Yeager. I love seeing those two hollows, the Battle of Jakku and the one of his wife and his child. And we can talk more about those as goes on, because we found out a lot more in Bucket's list about those pictures. And then I guess the last thing I did for initial thoughts was we have a rivalry. And the episode guy did say that now between, Kaz and Jace Ruckland. Of course, you asked me last episode, Aaron, about Grievel, if he was going to keep showing up. And we said, yeah, he'll be in and out, you know, tormenting Kaz's soul. And I think we've got another one here, too, that is going to be that foil, right? You need foils, and we've said that. And so it looks like Jace is going to be one as well.
Definitely, I think he will be. Jace is definitely going to be somebody, especially after the way the episode ended, is going to be another thorn in Kaz's side, per se. It'll be interesting to see how that story plays out. Overall, I thought this was a fun episode. It was great. It was a lot of fun. I loved seeing the little speeder bike race. The banter between Yeager and Kaz, it's starting to get a little old. But I can understand where it's coming from. I'm a dad. I have the same. I constantly tell my kids the same thing over and over and over. And they just don't seem to learn. So I'm seeing that father-son relationship developing between Yeager and Kaz. And I can understand that. But I can also see where in a television show it's getting a little mundane with that repeated discussion. But let's go ahead and dig into the episode. Of course, our new character is Jace Ruckland, which was voiced by Frodo Baggins himself, the great Elijah Wood. I thought it was a pleasant surprise to have him involved. I absolutely loved having him in the Star Wars universe. Interesting character. I mean, he definitely has his goals, and he's willing to walk over anybody to get to where he wants. He is definitely trying to be the best racer on the platform. What were your initial thoughts of Jace, David?
Yeah, with him, if they were trying to get us to not like him, all his little looks to his two friends, right? Gorik Wiles and Lynn Gava, they did a great job, because my response is, I don't like him. And by the end of the episode, I liked him even less. I love Elijah Wood, but I do not like Jace Ruckland.
I can understand that. Shay, what were your thoughts on Frodo's debut in this episode?
Yeah, I have to agree with David. I did not care for this character very much. And if I hadn't already known that it was Elijah Wood voicing him, I probably wouldn't have picked up on it, because I've never heard him with an American accent before. So that was a little bit disorienting for me. But one thing that my head immediately went to when I saw the character and saw him interacting with Kaz, I noticed that his hair is very, very light, and yet his eyebrows are dark, so it looks like he's bleached his hair. So he's kind of trying to be a cool kid, which is not saying anything against people who bleach their hair, but it's something of maybe a stereotype or something.
Oh, no.
And... Yeah. And one other thing I did observe is that he has a 7 patch on his shoulder, and his name being Jace, spelled J-A-C-E. When I first saw him, my mind went to, ooh, what if this is Jason Syndulla in disguise? But I quickly realized, nah, this can't be Jason.
Yeah, he would be a little young to be Jason Syndulla.
Yeah.
But yeah, that, I could see that with the 7 on this patch. Maybe his ship has got the 7 on it too, but I have to agree with you guys. I really, after I was excited to hear it was Elijah Wood, when he was going to be on here, the character itself, didn't do anything for me. It wasn't somebody I liked. I seriously thought he was.
You are one funny son of a Slimo.
He really was. So he's going to be one of those characters that, if he does return, which I got a feeling he is going to return, it's not going to be in a fun sense of the word. He's going to be causing trouble, especially since he stole that hyperfuel and everything. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes. Jace Rucklin will be back. My gut tells me it is. So, I mean, another thing we want to talk about, of course, which, David, I know you brought up in your opening remarks, is Yeager and his family and the holo images. Definitely, that was a glimpse into Yeager that you and I have been talking about. We wanted to see. We want to know his background. We want to know what his issues are. Because obviously there's a little bit of hostility between him and Poe. I mean, they don't get old. They're friends, but they have their differences. And I think we got a little bit of a glimpse there. We saw he was at the Battle of Jakku based on the one picture. Then we saw a picture of him and his family. And I know we discussed this in one of our first episodes. But when you zoom in on that picture of his family, and actually compare it to some of the shots of the promotional art or the concept art from Galaxy's Edge, it looks like Yeager is from Batuu, based on some of that concept art. How did you feel about the glimpses into Yeager's past, Shay?
I was actually really interested. I'd seen a spoiler beforehand that we would find out something about a wife and child, and so I was kind of prepared for it. One thing I would like to add is I believe it has been confirmed that that picture takes place on Batuu. It was on the Star Wars website.
Sweet. Sweet.
So I think it's interesting that he potentially had a wife and child that are no longer in the picture, and everyone's just sort of assuming that that is his wife and child, not possibly a sister and niece or nephew. But, I mean, it makes sense that it would be his wife. And I'm interested to see what backstory there could be about that and how that may relate to the way he acts towards Poe and Kaz and just how where he is in general, why he doesn't want to fly, why he doesn't want to get involved in another war.
Very good. Yeah, it'd be interesting to know why. I mean, I'm sure being a part of the Rebellion, I'm sure that took his toll on everybody, being a part of that. But it would be interesting to see some more of that backstory. And how that develops. I'm excited they confirmed that was Batuu. That just adds more of a connection for the series as it goes forward with the rest of the saga, with connections with the book, Thrawn Alliances, and of course now connections to the theme park. As it all has those connections to Batuu. Definitely, it'll be fun to see where he goes. I mean, I would love to find out what parts he played in the Rebellion. I mean, obviously, I would think he was in a little bit more than the Battle of Jakku. What other battles is he in? Was he at Endor? I'm sure he knows. I mean, maybe he knows. Maybe. Did he serve under Hera in the battle? I mean, where was he at that point? It's just so much about him I want to know, especially knowing his connection with the Rebellion. So definitely it's going to be fun to see where that goes. So want to take a moment here, and I want to mention something real quick. We got to see more Bucket in this episode than we have in any episode we've seen so far. Me being a Chopper fan, you know, I'm all about the Astromechs and the droids. And, you know, Bucket, I think, has a lot of potential. I mean, we saw him knock Kaz out cold in the first episode, but that's pretty much where he kind of faded there. But we got to see some interaction with him. We got to see him freaking out because of the hyperfuel. moving tools around, putting tools up. Almost looked like he was inventorying supplies and stuff, and that's how he discovered the missing Corellian hyperfuel, which, of course, was awesome to see. That reference to Solo, A Star Wars Story in there. Again, another connection.
Yeah.
How do you feel about, and this extends past just this episode, we go back into the others, about Bucket and how they're using him, and the type of interactions we've had with Bucket so far. And Shay, we'll start with you.
All right. Bucket, I think, is interesting because we've never really seen a droid like him be. Honestly, he doesn't seem to have a whole lot of character. He seems to be more of a maybe a plot device or a background setting, if you will. We know he's a very old droid.
That he is. He is old. Looks like he is.
And his design is very interesting to me, but I was interested to see him finally get a little more time in this episode to show who he is and what he's like. He seems very, very attached to Yeager, but we don't really know anything about his personality.
That's very true. We really don't. And that's because we haven't gotten a lot of screen time with him yet, which I really don't like. I like if we're going to have astromechs, I want to have screen time with him and get to know him more. We did that with Chopper. BB-8, you know, we got BB-8. Everybody knows who BB-8 is. We know his personality. We know his character. So I would like to see more of Bucket taking more of a front when it comes to the droids, taking more of a first person stance versus BB-8. But we seem to keep going back to BB-8. Not that there's anything wrong with BB-8. I just keep asking myself, if that droid is so valuable to Poe, why does he keep leaving him everywhere? But you know, I definitely want to see more of Bucket, him and his piece together self. David, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I like Bucket. I love his look. I love the helmet. That kind of stuff cracks me up. But like Shay said, you know, we don't know a lot about his personality, but I think, again, they're going to titrate it out. They're going to slowly but surely give us more and more. I was trying to remember if it was last episode or the first one where, like you said, we'll open it up to previous episodes. I think he was talking about Bucket and just what a trusty sidekick. He's seen a lot, but still works well and is a very, you know, reliable droid. So there's no question. Just like with Chop, we'll get more and more about Bucket. You know, I remember watching Rebels and, you know, you and I would talk and we would want to know more about, you know, Sabine and Kanan and Hera and all that. And they got it out there over time. And so I'm really excited. I'm very confident they'll do that with each of these characters. But like you and I have said before, Aaron, that the three of us right now are talking and wanting to know more, it just shows how good these storytellers are. Like, I'm the same as both of you. I want to know more about all of our characters, and that makes it fun. Versus, I said it before, I don't really care about these characters. No, I already do, and I want to know more. And about Bucket, too.
No, definitely, I agree. I definitely do. They're doing a good job of making us want to know more about these characters. My only concern is they introduce so many characters so fast that to start, they're going to have to start giving us more information about each. It's going to take time, when they could have gradually introduced these people as we went on. But it's going to be a blast, and we're going to get a lot of information as we go on, because, you know, we got a lot of shows still to go. In Bucket, you know, is, like I said, I'm always favorable to Bucket, to the droid. So I definitely want to see more Bucket, especially since he looks like he has parts from an R2 and parts from a chopper unit, and he looks like a hodgepodge of everything except the BB-8. So definitely, I like how they designed him, and I like how they left him unfinished. If you've ever been to a convention and gone past the R2 builders, and they always have a half-built droid sitting there that they're working on. It reminds me kind of like that. So I expect to see a lot of buckets at conventions going forward, because everybody has a half-built droid somewhere in their collection if they're part of the droid builders. So it would be an easy build for them.
No doubt, buddy. No doubt. So
I expect to see a lot of buckets showing up. I think the most expensive part of that build would probably be his helmet. So
that was going to be expensive. Yeah, it would be more expensive than the rest of the droid. Yeah.
Exactly. So, real quick, we'll go into one more item here, then we'll take our break. But let's talk about the bike race between Jace and Kaz. While he's trying to gain Kaz's trust, Jace takes him into a hangar bay sneaking through the underground guts of the Colossus. They go into a grate and go under the floor, similar to what Finn and Rey did in The Force Awakens when Han hid them aboard his cargo ship when the Guavian Death Squad arrived. And they wind up in a hangar, and they get these two speeder bikes, and they take off racing, and come to find out one of the bikes is rigged by Jace's crew to malfunction, and Jace winds up having to save Kaz. I almost said Ezra. Had to save Kaz from crashing, pretty much. He had to abandon ship and jump onto to Jace's bike. And that basically, the first thing out of Kaz's mouth was, "Wow, you saved my life." And Jace is like, "Hell, that's what friends do." And of course, at that point, they had him right. Even Jace says to his crew, "We got him right where we want him," because they set this up. I thought the race itself was actually great, really awesome. I loved the speeder bikes, the nice throwback. I loved the sound effects. It reminded me so much of Endor when they were zigzagging through the trees on the speeder bikes in Return of the Jedi. So it was just a lot of fun. The visual effects as they're flying, and he's starting to skim the water, and when they drop down and take off, it was just a great scene altogether. What were your thoughts on the speeder bike race, David?
Yeah, like you said, they're a throwback, right? They're in Bucket's List. Yeah, no, Bucket's List has really replaced the trivia section in the episode guide, and they say that both of these speeder bikes are based on Return of the Jedi concept art. And I remember as a kid looking at the art of Return of the Jedi. I had all three of those books as a kid. And I remember these. I think they're done by Joe Janilo Rodas Jr. is the name. I remember looking at those things as a kid and just thinking they're the coolest things ever. I was so excited when I got Bucket's List and I could watch it. And then I was like, holy mackerel. They threw in so many things into this episode. So first and foremost, for me, that's just a blast from the past, from 1983. And then, like you said, I love seeing it. I love seeing Kaz kicking into high gear and fly over him. And as I'm sitting here and you were talking about the race, I started thinking, man, if Kaz doesn't get off and he dies, boy, that's quite a thing that Jace Ruckland does and his crew for some Corellian hyperfuel. That's quite a risk to take. Hoping that he'll jump over onto your working spear, right? But it was pretty cool. I actually wanted to see him go through the rain out there, but I didn't quite make it. But pretty exciting. And of course, like we said, it's the setup to have Kaz learn the hard way versus the easy way,
No, exactly right. Exactly right. Definitely was a manipulation point at that time, and he had to learn the hard way. Shay, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that Kaz was just so trusting of Jace, like the minute he meets him, which, he's supposed to speak to the kids in the audience, because that's a thing kids do. It's a thing I've done. is trust people who I probably ought not put so much trust in. He just immediately goes with Jace and kind of drops the work that Yeager wants him to do. And I kind of found that interesting because we know that before joining the Resistance, Kaz was part of the New Republic Navy, I believe. So he's essentially a military guy. He ought to have a little more discipline and a little more, I guess, common sense than to know to do things like that. But it was definitely very human of him, and it meshed well with what Yeager said, that he's good at being a person. He's very trusting. He just loves people and doesn't think anybody could do him wrong. And yeah, like David said, I mean, that would be awfully, I guess that would be a pretty big risk, that they literally risked Kaz's life in hopes of getting some fuel so Jace could win this race. And Jace doesn't even know how to use the fuel. So yeah, I mean,
no, I mean, you brought up a good point, which I hadn't thought of, and I'm glad you did. You know, Kaz was a member of the New Republic Navy. It's not something you just, even if with his dad being a senator, that's not something you just walk into. There's a lot of discipline, a lot of training, a lot of common sense that you have to use to make it to where he was. To be even to be sent on the mission he was at the beginning of the show series to begin with, to deliver this confidential information to the Resistance. So there's got to be a level of responsibility, and I haven't seen that level of responsibility from Kaz in this episode or in any episode so far.
And honestly, that actually might be a clue as to the state the New Republic is in at this point, that Kaz, who's somebody who's clearly, I mean, not to speak bad of Kaz, I love him, but he's not super competent, and he's not really somebody who you'd want to trust to be defending this government and all the people in it. And yet he's essentially seems to be a respected member of the military. So maybe that speaks to what state the New Republic is in, that he ended up in the place he's in simply because his father is well known and has a lot of power.
Very good, very good. David, thoughts?
No, I love what Shay is saying. You and I were talking this weekend, I think, with some of the stuff I was reading in Bloodline and looking at the New Republic and their military and stuff. Like Shay said, it really speaks to how desperate they are to get people into their Navy, the guys flying X-Wings and so on and so forth. But the other thing I thought about was, as Shay was speaking, is I was thinking about what term it's, what is artistic or something like that, or suspense, I guess it could even be, you know, there's that. But there's also suspension of disbelief as well, right, when we go into certain movies. And that was one of the things I was thinking about here. And, you know, Shay did say very well, you know, he is young. And I guess we have talked about this, that we're going to – I think the big arc is to see him mature in these ways. And in each episode he is. So he does start off kind of as the bumbling fool. And even the creators have described him that way. And so I think by the end of the series, we're going to see him, you know, a lot different, just like we did with Kanan from the start to the end of Rebels. So, so it's hard to know what it is. Is it a bad state of affairs there in the New Republic Navy, or is it more, it's kind of like, no, he is a good pilot. It's just there is immaturity, and they want to show that as well. They want to show his maturity slowly but surely blossom. Not sure which one it is.
Very good, very good. You know, it's going to be interesting to see where they play out, because, you know, it's we're bringing up things that, you know, we hadn't thought about. You know, this is, I mean, a kid's show, so they have to make it a little more. Their focus is towards kids, so there's going to be a little bit more of this stuff that they're going to try to insert lessons in. And the lesson, of course, in this episode we'll discuss after break, but, you know, it's if it wasn't for his gullibility, the lesson wouldn't be there. So we need to, I mean, there's got to be some kind of suspension of disbelief, like you said, but at the same point, you know, we're still dealing with canon, so we have to also look at it through that objective lens. So it definitely a lot to chew on here, and we're going to keep chewing on fuel for the fire. We're going to take a quick break. Just hang around with us, and we will be right back.
Kaz, this is Niku. Niku, this is Kaz. He'll be hanging around for a while.
From what exactly will he be hanging?
He, yeah, okay, never mind.
All right, welcome back. I'm your host, Aaron. I'm here with David and with our guest, Shay, from the Elven Padawan. We're here continuing our review of Fuel for the Fire, which is a great episode. And during our break, we were talking and having a nice discussion, and Shay brought up something that we want to go into again. We mentioned it at the top of the show about Yeager and his relationship with Kaz, and I mentioned kind of being a father-son relationship, that we're starting to see develop there. And Shay seems to have some interesting feedback there and thoughts, and I wanted that to get shared. Shay, floor is yours. What do you have on Yeager and his relationship with Kaz?
Okay, so what I've been thinking about is how it's very interesting that the relationship with Kaz and Yeager seems to sort of mirror the relationship between Poe and currently General Leia Organa, in that you've got a much older character who was previously part of the previous resistance regime, which was the Rebel Alliance, and they're taking under this young hotshot pilot who kind of doesn't have a ton of responsibility and wants to do things their way, and kind of needs a firm hand and needs a lot of work to grow into a great member of the resistance. And you guys touched on earlier how over and over Kaz keeps doing the same things and Yeager keeps having to try to remind him, and there's this conflict. And that reminds me a lot of what we see going on between Leia and Poe, in that, you know, Leia or Poe is a little farther down the line and learning from Leia. But I don't personally read the Poe comic yet, but I know bits about it, and it seems like he's repeatedly having to be reminded of things by her and learning from her. And I find that interesting, especially because Poe is the one who put Kaz under Yeager's care. So
I like that. Very good. Very good. David, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I am always fascinated with mentor-mentee relationships. That's something in the previous episodes, you know, I've mentioned that that's going to be an interest to me. And really, when you look at Poe and look at Kaz, you look at anybody, Luke, when he was training Yoda, I do think, and here we'll kind of bring it into, you know, modern day psychology, there's a concept called, it's one of our personality characters, it's called openness to experience. And the mnemonic device is, I perhaps have said it before on the show, OCEAN, it's ocean, and it's what's called the big five factors of personality. And one of them is the O, which is openness to experience. And I think about Kaz in this episode. I do think about Leia and Poe in the movies. And is that person who's a mentee open to that experience, or are they closed off? And you mentioned it earlier, Aaron, do we say things over and over and over, you know, to our kids at times? How many times do we have to say stuff? So it's a neat to see the mentee become more open to that experience and learn and grow. And those are arcs that we want to see in Star Wars, right? Those are, you know, the hero's journey. You know, are you open to that experience, right? There's usually a refusal to the call. You're closed to the experience, and then you open up to it. But another real quick thing is C is conscientiousness. And I do think about that with Kaz in this episode. There's not a lot of conscientiousness, a lot of carelessness with engines falling into the water and so on and so forth. But persons who have that personality trait stronger than others actually do better in life. They are healthier. They tend to make more money. And just tend to have, you know, better social relationships as well. So these personality characteristics are seen in these persons. Poe and Kaz are slowly but surely learning. And like I said before, that's what we want to see. It's enjoyable to see the growth.
It really is fun to see the growth. I mean, we like seeing that in Star Wars. I love the comparison, Shay. That's incredible, because, you know, when I sit back and start thinking about that, relationship between Yeager and Kaz, and how it reflects in the Poe-Leia relationship. I actually go back even a little further than that and look at the Anakin-Obi-Wan relationship. That's a huge mentor-mentee relationship at that point, and that one didn't go so well, unfortunately. So it's one of those things that we will that I want to follow up. I haven't read the Poe comics either, so I haven't read anything on them either, like you have. So it's from what I understand, it's definitely interesting to see that relationship build. I mean, we see it somewhat in The Force Awakens and Last Jedi, more in The Last Jedi. I mean, I keep thinking of when he gets back to the ship after blowing up the dreadnought, and she's like, he's like, "We blew up a dreadnought," and she's like, you're demoted. He's like, "What? Yeah. I blew up a dreadnought." Yeah, but you disobeyed the orders, you know. So I definitely see where you're going with that, especially after seeing their relationship in The Last Jedi. You know, Leia's unconscious. He takes over the ship. The door gets blown open. Leia comes walking in and shoots him. So, I mean, how far into the series before Yeager shoots Kaz?
Unstunned, yeah.
Yeah, you know. So definitely, I love that comparison. I love that, Shay. Thank you so much. And it's something I'm going to want to keep an eye on as the series goes on, to see how they parallel. Because I mean, I got a feeling we're going to see that more as time goes on. We know Poe's through The Last Jedi, we saw Poe mature, and by the end he was actually taking responsibility, taking lead, and was his whole demeanor changed. Instead of running out and fighting and supporting Luke, he actually like, you know what? No, we need to cut and run while we got a chance, which is completely opposite to what he would have done, or what he did at the beginning of the movie. He learned his lesson from Leia shooting him. So I'm sure that had something to do with it. If I got shot, I definitely would learn a lesson real quick. But you know, just my thoughts. And now you know. All right, so. We have a great episode here, and one thing I've noticed through this episode with the whole issue with Jace Rucklin and Kaz, and Kaz kind of falling in with the wrong group of people and everything, and you know, they seem to be trying to teach lessons as in these episodes as they go on. I know they're gearing it towards kids, and a lot of kids shows, they have an underlying theme for an episode, trying to get a certain point across or a lesson taught. And I definitely could see that in this, because we especially, you know, being a dad, I got a middle school, a sixth grader now, a middle schooler. And my greatest fear is always her falling in with the wrong crowd. I'm not so worried about her. I'm worried more about my 6-year-old when she gets older, because she's the handful. But you know, that's always an underlying fear, even with my oldest, because you want them to be on the right path and make the good decisions and not be influenced like that. Because Jace really manipulated Kaz through this episode. And definitely it was apparent throughout the whole thing to everybody except for Kaz. David, what are you, being a psychologist, what are your thoughts on how they're portraying that fall into the wrong crowd within this episode and the lessons they're trying to teach?
Yeah, I love it. I'm glad they're doing this. It is a classic story. I guess some people call it tropes, right? These kind of repeating story themes. You know, over 26 years of being a psychologist, I've worked with thousands of parents. And one of the biggest challenges with the kids I worked with, you know, I'm working with an older population now, really about 65 and above. But for years, I worked with elementary, middle, and high school students. And in particular, when I worked with preteens and teens, you know, the 10, 11, 12, and then my clients that were 13 through 19, 20, 21, even a little bit older, is that really huge challenge of wanting to be popular, wanting to be cool, wanting to be accepted. Then there's that challenge of, you know, to be accepted by some of these people, I've got to do some things maybe I don't feel super comfortable with. You know, it's a thing. You know, I've talked to parents about this, where mom and dad are saying one thing, a bunch of friends, well, quote unquote friends, are saying stuff, and culture. You've got all these voices saying the opposite of mom and dad. And that's a tough one. The other thing to keep in mind that's behind a lot of this, you guys, is I think I've spoken about this in Rebels Reactions, is that in this view, the biggest fear of human beings is public speaking. But most Americans and most humans are public speaking every day. The biggest fear in most humans is being rejected, right? It's acceptance versus rejection. We want to be accepted. We don't want to be rejected. And so particularly when you're young, you know, you can kind of see what they did in this episode, and it happens in life, is willing to do something like going to Yeager's private storeroom there. And, you know, Kaz didn't really want to do it, but he was willing to do it to not be rejected. Not just by Jace, but by these two other persons as well, Gorick and Lynn, the two other persons in his crew. So as humans, we really, really dislike being rejected. And so that's a big underlying issue with this whole thing. And so I just want to share that a little bit. I always want to give a little tidbit of psychology in some of these episodes, but I really like how they did it. And of course, like I've always said, and George Lucas said it about his 2005 movie Revenge of the Sith, he wanted young people to watch it and don't do what Anakin does, right? He was very clear about that. And here, you know, maybe Dave Filoni's, you know, and some of the crew he's worked with, is a clear message. Look and see what Kaz does here. Don't do that. And hopefully hopefully young ones watching this will learn.
No, definitely. I like that. And one thing I liked that in the episode as well was, even after Kaz screwed up and got snuck Jason and gave Jace the opportunity to steal the hyperfuel and all the mess ups Kaz did, Yeager was still there for him. Yeah. After he saved his life, you know, standing in the hall, you know, he had the opportunity to just completely cut Kaz off. You know, you're done, out of here. You can deal with Poe on your own. I'm out. He had that opportunity right then and there, but instead, just like, you know, we need not to draw so much attention to ourselves, and just kind of turned and walked away. You know, is it something that Yeager's going to forget? Absolutely not. But obviously he's seeing Kaz's learning lessons as he goes. Shay, what are your thoughts on this topic?
Yeah, I love what you just said. That's what I was going to mention as well, is that you can tell he's upset. Yeager is upset with Kaz, and he wants to punish him, or at least let him know what he did wasn't right. But Kaz already learned that lesson, and Yeager didn't have to do anything else to further enforce that. That would have just made Kaz feel even worse. So instead, he just tells him, you know, you did the wrong thing. Now just go finish what you were supposed to be doing. And I think that's really telling of the maturity that Yeager has, and it makes me wonder how much experience he's had with essentially bringing up kids in the past, because he handles this very well. He mentions to Tam that he gave her a second chance, because Tam's just like, nope, he messed up, he's out. And Yeager says, no, you know, I gave you a second chance, we're going to give him a second chance. So it makes me wonder, you know, back to what we talked about earlier about how Yeager seemingly had a wife and child. How long was that child in his life? Did he get to see that child grow up? Is that why he has so much experience, or seems to have so much experience, and does so well with Kaz and the other young people on his crew?
Yeah, I like that. You know, his child. We want to know more about his child. We need to know more about that. And I think we'll understand more about his relationship with Kaz when we find out more about his family, especially where are they? What happened? I got a feeling something happened to him during the war, which is why we're not seeing them. You never know. I hope we'll find out at some point, because I think it's going to be a huge tale about his character. But yeah, these episodes are incredibly awesome, and they're doing such a great job not only telling the story, making it fun, but adding the lesson into the episode as well. So that's made it a lot of fun. So with that, I'm ready to go into some of our new features of the show. We, of course, mentioned it in our last episode, and I think we're ready to we're going to make it official. It is time for David's Alien Corner. If y'all could come up with a better name for it, write us, let us know. We will take suggestions. But right now we're calling it David's Alien Corner. And I don't know about you, but I am ready to be impressed.
Get ready to be impressed.
You ready to be impressed, Tam?
I'm completely ready.
I am always ready.
All right, David, impress us with your alien knowledge.
Okay, everybody just hold on. There's, as far as I can tell, one new alien in this episode. I love this setup. Let down, you know. I see Nico just being let down by Kaz, and Nico's let down by Dave. Sullustan, right? It's Gorik Biles, the Sullustan in the show. The previous ones, I do have some clarifications in my alien corner here. One of the things I mentioned in the last episode is I did not know who the Arcona was. I don't know if you remember that. Mm-hmm. Last episode, I said that I could pretty much figure everything else out. But in the buckets list, they reveal that Garma, she's an elderly female Arcona. She's the one who's flirting with Kaz, saying, "You can live with me." And he's like, "Yeah, no, that's okay." And so that's her. She's an Arcona. So we can learn more about that alien. We obviously have the Sullustan, Gorik Wiles. He's on Jace Ruckland's team. Mm-hmm. But I have a clarification from last week, because I went back through with a fine-tooth comb on our previous episode, and I had said that Mama Hutt, you know, Jabba's mom, and I think all the Hutts, right, Zero the Hutt's mom, was on Cato Neimoidia. I after listening to that, I'm like, no, she is on Nalhutta. And that's in the Clone Wars. And so I'm like, no, I got to clarify that for our listeners. No, she is not on Cato Neimoidia. So that big alien creature, it was such a beautiful scene to see her, I guess what, slithering in garbage and so on and so forth. She was on Nalhutta. And so I wanted to make sure I clarified that as well. So there you go. There is Dave's Alien Corner.
And I know you got the list here. How many aliens are we talking about right now so far?
Okay. So let me say, first episode, second episode, this one. Ready?
Yep.
All right. So you count them as I say them. Bith, Rodian, Gorgs, Shadrafan, Nitko, Ithorian, Snivians, Alina, Clatoonian. We have one for Goshen. Thielen, Abinetto, then we've got Neimoidians, Nautilans, Mirlands, Godals, the Ark I mentioned, Quarren, Hasks, Trandoshans, and then the Sullustan. So what do we have there? Do we have it?
I probably miscounted, but I thought I got 21. Shay, did you? How many did you get?
That's what I came up with as well.
Hey, ding, 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 we got winners. 21 aliens so far, different alien races, in three episodes of of not resistance reactions of Star Wars Resistance. So 21 aliens so far, 21 alien races. Very cool. I want to see that number grow.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Yes, we're going to see that number grow. It's going to be a blast. So we'll have to look forward to the next episode and see if we get any bonus information there and any new aliens along the Colossus. So we'll see what happens there. All right. Now, also in our last episode, we mentioned another segment that we were going to be adding to the show, which, of course, I don't have a fancy name for. I just, you know, thought, this could be fun. Niku's saying of the week. Of course, picking up a saying by Niku from the episode that just, you know, was real thought-provoking and real, you know, made you think and scratch your head. And it really captures his depth as a character. And, well, you know, let's just play it.
Kaz, you do realize the engine is not sentient. It cannot respond back to you.
That was one of those places where I laughed out loud on the treadmill and almost fell off.
Oh, I love it. Yes, it was a great scene there. It's right there at the beginning when he's trying to get his... Kaz is trying to show off that he's fixed the engine that kind of blows up in his face. So, yes, that was awesome. That's awesome. That is Niku's saying of the week. And, of course, you'll have to stay tuned for our next episode for the next saying, whatever that will be, since we haven't seen the episode yet. I'm excited about that, aren't you?
Yeah, and you know what I do love, Aaron, is that Randy put one of the best sayings, you know, at the intro, right, where just before UConn, it's Nico's quote about, what is it? I'm so excited, I think I'm shivering or shaking all over, right? Something like that.
Yes. What is it?
I know. I
just
hear it
every blank.
People can hear it say that every week at the beginning. So.
Yeah, it's in our theme song in our opening. That's gonna bug me now.
We'll get it.
That is gonna bug me now.
Well, no, that's why you saw me do the correction on Mama Hutt there. You know, we always got to have our correction section too, things that we said wrong in the previous one. So we'll get that. We'll get it.
Oh, we will, because I'm pulling it up right now because I can't think of it. It's going to bug me, and I'm going to get it pulled up. I'm actually pulling up my email right now because I know it's in my email.
Shay, are you glad you're on with us?
I'm having a great time.
Oh, this is exciting. I appear to be tingling all over.
That's it. This is exciting. I feel like I'm tingling all over. That's it. Yeah. Sorry about that. I had to find that at clip. That was a little loud, wasn't it?
Oh, no. Thanks for saving me there.
All good. So, yes, fun episode. Fun throughout. Let's go ahead and head into closing out our episode. Final thoughts. We're going to start with our final thoughts. Shay, since you are our guest, let's start with you. What are your final thoughts on Fuel for the Fire?
All right. Well, I really enjoyed the episode a lot. I thought it was all around pretty great. It was great having Elijah Wood in the cast. I hadn't realized until reading the article on StarWars.com that he was a huge Star Wars fan, so that added even more to it. So I really enjoyed seeing how Kaz, even though he was kind of naive and gullible in this episode, he is a good person. He genuinely wants to believe in people, wants to care about people. And even after he knew that Jace had used him and tricked him, he still went back and risked his own life to rescue him from exploding, bursting into flames because of the very volatile fuel that he used. And that was great, just seeing that Kaz is just basically a sweetheart. He really wants to trust people and love people and do the right thing, and that sometimes gets him in trouble.
Very good. David, final thoughts.
Yeah, I was going to piggyback on what Jay had said earlier in the episode. Both of you were talking about with the Tallow of Yeager, learning more about him. You know, one of the questions I have is, you know, is he and his wife and child, are they from Batu? Were they visiting? We know it's this outpost, and you know, that has changed over the years. So very curious about that. The other Hollow, it says that there's a Dallas Star Destroyer. I was curious if that's, you know, the Inflictor, the one that we Ray shoot past in The Awakens, and I believe in Lost Stars. We, you know, see that coming from, you know, in that book. I'm curious about that. Just like Aaron, I do wonder if he fought in the Battle of Mandalore, you know, just before the Battle of Jakku. So I'm curious about that stuff and his family. I wrote a little note myself. They're really setting the groundwork for future episodes. You both, you know, kind of alluded to it with this Jace Ruckland. I was mentioning it. Same thing with the last episode. We mentioned Greeble and how he's been coming around. It'll be interesting to see if they have, you know, Jace in a future race, you know, all and trying to, you know, bang into, you know, the fireball as Kaz is flying and so on and so forth. If they still have some of that hyperfuel left, you know, use it in a nicer ship and see if it comes back into a future episode. But I'm excited about that. Obviously, the continued mentor-mentee relationship between Kaz and Yeager, that's something we've mentioned each time. It's exciting to see that and the lessons learned. And just like last episode when, you know, Aaron and I took it to another level and helped people to understand that the Hath brothers have, you know, worn out knees from sleeping in dung heaps. I thought that was pretty impressive that we shared that. I wanted people to know that the Fragotian, who is the only janitor on the Colossus, his name is O.P. Pitt. I mean, people need to know this, okay? Right? All right, Aaron, I have that on O.P. Pitt. I just wrote his name, exclamation point. Everybody knows who he is. And I love Amy Beth Christensen. She said he was his goggles were purposely drawn in a way that he looked cranky all the time. So I already love this guy. So I'm going to end with O.P. Pitt. There you go.
Oh, he's being serious. Well, that's completely unfortunate.
Oh, I love you, David.
I did not know you had a Flix one in there.
Of course I do. I've been saving it for a moment. I just didn't think that was going to be it.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even know you had that. You pulled it out at the perfect time.
Oh, perfect. Love it, love it. What was his name one more time?
O.P. Pitt.
O.P. Pitt.
Yeah.
O.P. Pitt. Yeah. O.P. Pitt. O.P. Pitt. Okay. Anywho, final thoughts, fuel for the fire for me. how do I follow that up?
You just cannot.
You can't. So good night, everybody. Have a pleasant night. No, just kidding. no. I just keep wanting to say his name, O.P. Pitt.
It is catchy.
It is quite catchy. You make a song that O.P. Pitt, O.P. Pitt. He's got goggles that fit really nice. Anyway, there's our after credit bumper. All right, closing thoughts. Fuel of fire. You know, this was a fun episode. We got to see a little more Bucket in this episode, which I enjoyed. We got to see, even though they were hashing on some of the same things, we got to see more advancement in the Yeager-Kaz relationship. I love the fact that we got to find out more, we got a glimpse of Yeager's past. He used to be in a position where he got hyperfuel. I mean, he was at the Battle of Jakku. He has a family. And he actually got to visit Galaxy's Edge before any of us. So, you know, we got to see this glimpse of Yeager, which was awesome. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. going forward. I want to see more involvement. I would like to see more in the future of him and of Kaz's and Tam's relationship, and see that develop. See if that goes along. I almost see that going into a brother sister type relationship there, and especially the way she, as hard as she comes down on him all the time. I could see that developing. So, you know, overall, this was just a fun episode. I did enjoy it. It had some its exciting moments with the speeder bike race, and then of course Jace's Kaz rescuing Jace from his own starship as it goes boom, and of course not having a parachute, classic. But yeah, all around a great episode. And of course, Shay, as you know, we do grade these episodes on a scale, like if you were in school, A, B, C, D, not an E, but an F. I made that mistake earlier. A, B, C, D, F. And, you know, looking at all the aspects of the episode and everything that happened and all the fun that was had, I would actually... I've been going back and forth on this because I did enjoy the episode overall, but it wasn't quite mind blowing yet. We haven't had a lot of these episodes have all been good, but we haven't had any mind blowing episodes yet, and I'm waiting for that because I know it's coming at some point. I'm honestly going to have to go with a B plus on this one. David, how about you?
Yeah, same as last episode. I mentioned a B plus. I didn't like last week as much as I did the first one. First one gave an A plus. Last week a B plus. Same thing here. B plus for me. I really do obviously like the backstory they revealed a bit about Eager the most, and that kept it up for me for a B plus. So. That's what I thought as well.
Perfect, perfect. And Shay, how about you? How would you grade Fuel for the Fire?
Well, I'll go a step up from you guys and give it an A-, because there were some great lines in this. I really loved some of Niku's lines and just Kaz constantly demanding to talk to inanimate objects and just some antics in there that were really great. And I thought the acting was well done, and the animation was very pretty. I very much enjoyed it. So, yeah, I'll give it an A-. A-plus is reserved for seeing Ezra Bridger on this show, but, you know.
only if he shows up with Chopper.
Well, yeah.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. That would be awesome. Possible. Plausible. You never know. But, yeah, no, very good. Very good. A-, 2 B-pluses. Very good. Very good. So awesome, awesome episode. It was just a lot, very entertaining. It was a great discussion, and I'm glad everybody was here to have some fun.
Well, this has been tons of fun.
So let's go ahead, Shay. Of course, if somebody wants to talk Star Wars with you, or if they want to talk Tolkien, what is the best way for somebody to get a hold of you?
Well, one way that people can contact me, basically both ways are equally as effective, is to go to my website, which is theelvenpadawan.com. Well, actually, Elven Padawan, leave off the "the." And there's a menu bar at the top. You click the contact button, and there's a little form you fill out with your name and email and your message and send it off, and that comes straight to me. If anyone wants to say hi or let me know about something or chat about Star Wars or Tolkien, that's a good way to get in touch with me. Or if you've got Twitter, hit me up on there. My tag is @ElvenPadawan. And in both cases, the Elven is spelled with a V, not an F. So that can be confusing for people.
All right. Perfect. Perfect. And of course, we'll have links in our show notes to find Shay and the Elven Padawan. So definitely... check that out. You'll love the show. You'll love the site. A lot of great information. And I got to ask you, any news about this Tolkien Lord of the Rings Amazon show that's supposed to be coming?
I have not seen any official news on that yet. The last rumor I heard was that it was going to focus on young Aragorn as he, I guess, his adventures as a ranger. But I have yet to see anything official, so I'm just kind of keeping my eyes open to see what they say next about it.
All right, cool, cool. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to that. David, if somebody wants to contact you, how would they do that?
Yeah, on Twitter, it is @David_Motters. And then the email is dmotters@cosmickenobi.com.
Very good. And Aaron, how would they contact you? Well, thank you, Aaron. If they want to contact me, they can reach me on my personal Twitter at taharris121079. You can email me at this always messes me up because I always do the Twitter, then I go into the email. You can reach me at my Twitter at taharris121079, or you can email me at aharris@coffeewithkenobi.com. Make sure you follow Resistance Reactions on Twitter at Resist Reactions. We're also on Facebook. Just search out Resistance Reactions. You'll be able to find us there. We're on the soon-to-be-shut-down Google Plus as well. So if you're there, Resistance Reactions, look us up. While it's still there, I heard they're shutting that down, though. We'll see what happens. But yeah, we're all over the place on social media, so follow us, interact with us, talk to us. If you got questions, if you got comments, let us know. And before we close this out, we got emails, and I'm closing the show without reading them, so bad, bad host. Let's pull up our emails really quick. We got a couple in. First one we got today was from our good friend Cameron Ramos. He's been emailing us for each episode, and we appreciate that. And he says, "Hey guys, I really enjoyed this latest episode of Star Wars Resistance. I think it was a great world builder episode as it allowed us to explore more of the Colossus. I think that the tunnels that run underneath the Colossus is a great addition to the story, and I'm excited to see how they are used in future episodes while Kaz is spying for the Resistance. What I really loved about this episode was that we are starting to get some backstory on Yeager. I need to know what happened to his wife and child, and I'm interested to see what it will take to get Yeager back into a ship to help the Resistance in the future. As always, you two are doing a great and amazing job with Resistance Reactions. I look forward to your episodes each week during my commute to work." Thank you. Thank you, Cameron. We appreciate those kind words. He's basically echoing what we said. We definitely are wanting that backstory on Yeager. I love the idea about the tunnels and Kaz using those for spying. That'll be a lot of fun going forward. Two other emails. David.
Yeah.
David. You put it on Twitter and your sources were correct. Yeah, let's just go ahead and read this. The first one reads as follows. "This is Corporal Flux of the Second Order. Finally, an episode that I can see a potential recruit. That Jace Recklin is my kind of guy. We can make him into a top soldier with some brainwashing. I mean training. Carry on, Corporal Flux."
I knew he was going to write in.
Yeah,
I know who that is.
Well, you know, he doesn't want to be, he's apparently not the one or other one, and his friend apparently doesn't want to be left out, because we got this one as well, not long afterwards. "This is Willard Tarkanish writing in to this Rebel Scum supporting podcast. I needed to write in to voice my displeasure with the positive growth seen in Cass. I, for one, would like to see more development in Major Von Regg and Commander Pyre. Until then, I'm very disappointed in Resistance. Tarkanis out."
I know.
I can't believe I'm going to say this.
Oh.
He actually makes a point I agree with.
Oh.
I want to see development in Major Von Regg and Commander Pyre. And I'm sure he's going to write in next week, and I'll never hear the end of this. I actually agree with that point. I need that development.
Oh, you
can't want to see
that. His ego. Oh, no. Oh, no. So, Shay, do you have problems with, you know, anybody that writes in like this to the Alvin Padawan? I'm guessing you have some posers out there that really cause problems, yes?
Well, honestly, I've never had this problem before.
Well, this is part of our, we're tormented, Shay, over here at this podcast. It started with Willard Tarkanis, and now it's just, there's Corporal Fox.
So. Well, see, you guys have people writing in. I can't get people to write in, so.
Well, hopefully that will change. Hopefully that will change. You got a great show, Shay, and definitely people need to listen in to get the latest news on all things Tolkien and Star Wars. And definitely, Shay, I am so glad you were able to join us on Resistance Reactions. It's a pleasure having you on, and I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for inviting me on. I had a ton of fun. This has just been a blast, and I'm super excited I got to do it.
Oh, definitely, we appreciate it. David, my friend, it's always good to talk to you. Everybody out there listening, thank you so much for inviting us in and listening in to the crazy antics and the fun that we have. We definitely appreciate you all. Till next time, remember, this is the Resistance Podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.